Now it's time to hear from the Green Party's Ricardo Menendez March.
Over recent weeks, Prime Minister Christopher Luxon has been busy touring Southeast Asia in the hopes of negotiating various trade deals and securing meetings with other world leaders. In his returning press conference where he recapped his trip, the Prime Minister focused on the importance of securing a one-on-one meeting with US President Donald Trump. For our weekly catch-up with the Green Party's Ricardo Menendez March, I spoke to him about the Prime Minister's trip. We also discussed the Green Party's plans for an evidence-based cannabis regulation and whether they would campaign with that policy for next year's election, as well as the new draft school curriculum released by the government and the subsequent plans to shrink the teaching council. But first, we discussed whether Luxon's trip to Southeast Asia was a success or not.
I think when it comes to economic benefits to a country, time will tell. But what was really concerning was him greasing up to Trump, making jokes about, you know, even his hair, and not raising any of the serious issues that we should be challenging him on the global stage, such as his track record on supporting a genocide, the state of our democracies, as well as ensuring that, for example, the way in which Trump has conducted his tariffs ultimately end up affecting some pretty low-income communities across the globe. And so when we see Luxon simply cozying up and making jokes with a global leader undermining democracy, increasing inequality, and supporting a genocide, it just shows that we don't have strong leadership in the global stage.
Would you regard that as important, that that's something that the Prime Minister of New Zealand should be doing?
New Zealand has a strong track record of taking a principled position on the global stage, and no matter our size, we have a duty to stand up for what is right, and that includes the interests of people here in Aotearoa as well as across the globe. And when I see Luxon cozying up to someone like Trump, who is increasingly authoritarian, and not challenging him on important issues, it shows that we're losing that principled and strong voice that we have on the global stage.
The Prime Minister seems to be promoting the one-on-one meeting with US President Donald Trump as hugely significant. Is that something that you'd agree with?
I think for him, hugely significant means handshaking and photo ops without any substance. I think if we can't see Luxon genuinely building a relationship with world leaders in which we hold true to our principles, we won't be getting anywhere, and all that we will continue doing so is being a pushover for increasingly authoritarian regimes. Whether it's China, whether it's the US, or any other country that has a poor track record of human rights, we have a duty to be a strong voice on those issues. And if the government is so concerned about their actions in relationship to things like tariffs, what we should be doing is building economic resilience here in New Zealand by, for example, investing in our manufacturing sector and not being so reliant on volatile world leaders that could throw us under the bus at any point because they just simply stop liking us.
When recapping his trip through Southeast Asia, the Prime Minister extended an offer for President Trump to visit New Zealand in the future and said we should certainly welcome him here. Is that something that the Green Party would do as well?
We would absolutely not be welcoming Donald Trump on our shores. We should not be welcoming a leader that has an increasingly authoritarian record, that has been vocally supporting a genocide. And instead, there are ways to build ties with communities across the United States that do not rely on giving an authoritarian leader a free pass.
Moving on to the next topic, Chloe Swarbrick announced that the Green Party has renewed its call for evidence-based cannabis regulation on the fifth anniversary of a referendum in which the public voted only narrowly against legalization. Swarbrick also announced that the Green Party is launching an online platform for New Zealanders to define what they think sensible regulation could look like. My next question is, why do the Green Party think cannabis should be legalized, and why now?
Well, because our war on drugs is failing, and the drugs are winning the war on the war on drugs. We've seen that despite prohibition, harm is increasing in our communities, and that we have seen other countries that have taken a different approach and have been able to reduce the harm that drugs cause in our communities. All the evidence shows that we should be treating drugs as a health issue as opposed to a criminal issue. Because when we treat it as a criminal issue, we prevent people seeking help when they need it. We prevent adequate information coming out in our communities in a way that genuinely reaches out those that are most at risk of the harm that substances can cause, and that includes cannabis. And you know, it's time that we also address the contradictions on how we treat some substances versus others. We know that substances like alcohol cause a huge amount of harm, and yet we recognize that prohibition isn't, for example, an adequate way to address alcohol harm. We should be doing the exact same thing for drugs like cannabis.
If a cannabis legalization policy were to be solely decided by the Green Party, what would the regulations be?
Well, the regulations put forward in the referendum show that we can put in place regulations that put public health at the center of it, as opposed to models like the ones that we have seen in places like California that allow corporates to effectively make a huge profit in the same way that they're doing it with tobacco and alcohol at the expense of public health. And so for us, that would be about ensuring that we have strong regulations that protect corporations from leading the way on the types of cannabis that are being sold in the market, but also ensuring that the growth of cannabis remains within the public good and not for corporations to take over to make profits over, which is what we've seen overseas in jurisdictions where lack of adequate regulations have indeed caused harm instead of putting public health at front and center. And we've seen how places like Portugal and Uruguay have led more the way in terms of putting public health at the center as opposed to places like California.
Once the Green Party have heard New Zealanders' feedback on what the regulations should be, will those regulations then be part of your campaigning for next year's election?
Well, we have had a long-standing position that the legalization of cannabis and treating all drugs as a health issue is well overdue. And so we are really looking forward to hearing people's feedbacks on what these regulations should look forward. And we look also forward to continuing to campaign on the legalization of cannabis, as we have done for over a decade by now. And this is a much, much overdue issue to reduce harm in our communities, to put public health at the center of our decision-making, and to stop the contradiction of how we choose to treat some drugs as a health issue and others as a criminal issue.
Have you heard from other political parties as well to see who might support the Green Party with this policy?
That is work that will absolutely be taken underway as we get close to the election and we start negotiating with other parties. But I do challenge every political party to stop treating drugs as a criminal issue and to take an evidence-based approach and start treating drugs as a health issue.
All right, moving on to the final topic. The government released their full draft of the new curriculum for Year 0 to 10 students. Despite a lot of criticism, Education Minister Erica Stanford called it another step toward delivering a world-leading system for every learner. Since this announcement, Erica Stanford has also announced plans to shrink the teaching council. Firstly, what was the Green Party's reaction to the new curriculum announced by the government?
We've heard it loud and clear that teachers across the country acknowledge that this does not focus on the issues that our kids need to be successful in schools. And the main challenge we've had isn't the curriculum. There's been quite a lot of changes already over the past few years when it comes to how teachers do their work. And if Erica thinks that by simply loading teachers with a pretty overwhelming curriculum is going to make a huge difference for our children, she's ignoring the fact that right now, one of the key reasons why we have, you know, people not showing up to school, people not feeling like they're performing well in school, it's because we're sending our kids to school hungry, and we're sending our kids home to cold, damp homes and environments that don't provide adequate support in order for our kids to thrive in the education space. And so we support the teachers who have pushed back on this new curriculum, and we encourage the government to ensure that they work with teachers to design an education system that puts the learning conditions of our kids at the forefront.
According to the Association for Māori Principals and Education Leaders, the government's curriculum makes Māori invisible and is not fit for purpose. Does the Green Party share that view?
Our education system should reflect our unique culture that we have here in Aotearoa. To continue to invisibilize te reo Māori and te tiriti within our education space, all that it will do is actually erase our rich history, our rich identity, one that I think is shared by Māori and non-Māori alike in terms of how we value it. And what it does as well is that by erasing the ability for kids to genuinely learn and appreciate our unique identity, we also deprive them from the ability to reconnect with their culture, with our history, and that in and of itself does lead to poor outcomes later down the line. And so, you know, sure, numeracy and literacy are important skills for people to learn. They're critical, but we cannot at the same time be erasing the things that makes us unique in Aotearoa within our education space.
The curriculum also removes the requirement to teach Aotearoa New Zealand's histories. What do you make of that move by the government, and is that something that should be seen as essential?
Our history is critical to supporting people to understand why things are the way they are right now. So, for example, why is it that we have such high rates of homelessness? And who led through history decisions that have created the economic conditions where there are not enough jobs, where Maori face land dispossession? Those are all things that people should be learning at school so that they can then have the tools to make good decisions in adulthood and make decisions on, for example, who they want to elect with a good understanding of the past. And when the curriculum includes issues of global history but neglects to center Aotearoa's history within the curriculum, it just shows that the government does not value our unique identity, our unique history, and is quite happy to erase the past in order for the government to pretend that we do not have historical issues that are yet to be addressed, such as the harms that colonization and neoliberalism have caused in our communities.
What are the main aspects of the new curriculum that the Green Party would change?
We would recenter Te Tiriti and Te Reo Māori within our curriculum, as well as ensuring that we would have a focus on people having access to learning civics and history of the history of Aotearoa. But beyond that, if we want an education system that puts the learning conditions of our students at the forefront, what we would do is addressing issues like child poverty. What we would do is ensuring that we invest in quality lunches in our schools, and that we support our teachers to have adequate staffing levels and that their working conditions are well supported so that students have the best opportunity to do well in school and later down in life.
And just quickly moving on to the teaching council aspect, teachers' unions have slammed the government's move to shrink the teaching council as a blatant power grab. Do you agree with that?
Our teaching councils should be led by people who are actually who actually understand our education system, and that needs to include teachers. Any attempts to push aside teachers and learners from decision makings within our schools completely undermines the people who are actually at the forefront and at the front line of our education system. And so it is a really concerning move to see the government continuing through this and other reforms to erase the voices of our educators within decisions in our education system.
That was the Green Party's Ricardo Menendez March on Prime Minister Christopher Luxon's Southeast Asia trip, the Green Party's plans for cannabis regulation, the new draft school curriculum, and Education Minister Erica Stanford's plans to shrink the teaching council.
That was the Green Party's Ricardo Menendez March.